The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's leading property investor podcast, right here on MoneyWeb. We are continuing our conversation around the broader commercial property sector now. On this week's episode, we have John Jack, the CEO of Galletti Corporate Real Estate, joining us on the podcast. He hasn't been on our podcast before, but he has been on some of our other shows. It's John's first time. So, John, welcome to the Property Pod. Good to have you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, your company puts out a lot of press releases and insights on the market. Obviously, you play in a broader space, as it were. I didn't want to talk too much about what's mentioned in some of those latest reports, but it is headlined where to invest in property for 2026. So just a very generic or broad question. Yeah, where are the hotspots? Is it pretty much Cape Town and the boom that we keep hearing about, or are there new places to look out for? Sure. I know there are some nodes in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, more precincts, despite their challenges, that seem to be doing okay.
Yeah. So I think it's probably important to understand how we see this data and where we get it from. So we have technology that tracks various property transfers across the country. We overlay it with vacancy information, tenant information, and just really sort of try and understand the market, see where it's moving. And of course, you've seen so much activity and demand. The other thing is obviously the net flow coming through the office, the demand, the inquiry, so the what's actually happening in the market. And what you've seen is interest rates coming down and quite significantly, and effectively a little bit of GDP growth. And those two things together, we haven't actually had for quite a long time. And if you go and look at when last we had that, it's probably the early 2000s when we had a little bit of GDP growth, then obviously a lot more, but now it was reported sort of at 2%. But if you get those two things together, you get more growth in the market and at the same time, cheaper money. So these are like petrol on the fire. So you've seen the REITs performing. They've had a lot of vacancies taken up. And effectively what just happens is the underpin of commercial property certainly is the tenant, the income going through that property, because you can own as much property as you want, but if you don't have a tenant, then you've got a problem. You need to get some kind of return. Of course, unless you're in Cape Town, when they're just looking at sort of total return and it's all about capital growth there. So we see this information coming through the market, and ultimately where you've seen so much growth in Cape Town, capital growth in Cape Town, Johannesburg's fallen behind. And seen more recently is just a sort of, it's a pause. You know, there's a lot of reporting of, you know, people are coming back to Johannesburg and, you know, that type of reporting, but actually it feels more like a pause. Not that many people are leaving Johannesburg anymore. So you probably seen a stabilization. And just anecdotally, you know, we don't do a lot of residential, but anecdotally, I saw a property across the road from me where I live, and I thought, well, I'm just going to have a look at this. Looks like a nice property. So, you know, I always stay in touch with the agents and the people in the market. I went to go and have a look. And by the time I'd had a look, it was listed the night before. And that afternoon when I went to go and have a look, they had 10, 12 viewings already. I went back 2 days later, they had 30 viewings already. This tells you something, you know, really tells you something. And when you see it then start translating into the commercial markets, you understand that something's happening in the Johannesburg region. So our call this year certainly would be Johannesburg.
So it's interesting you mentioned that, because I was at a GrowthPoint and Tricord launch last week regarding the Olympus development, and that sold out all happening at once. It was supposed to be two phases. Now it's happening in a single phase. That's a precinct, and it's very, you know, it's in Sandton Central. But that entrance that you talk about, it's pretty much residential, or is it, different sectors, commercial? I know, you know, office has recovered quite a bit, but there's still vacancies. What are some of your insights on the different sectors in terms of performance? Yeah. Because your comment was pretty much around semigration and the resi market.
So historically what happens is one flows into the next. So you see it in the motor vehicle market, you know, people either buying or not buying. Then you see it in the residential market where people are deciding to stay where they are or they're deciding to buy property. And so those markets start to move. There's a net demand and the oversupply gets taken up. After that, it becomes retail. Then it's industrial. Then it's office. And if you think about that sort of net flow, people decide to live somewhere. Then ultimately, they need to shop somewhere. So because there are people living there, they start shopping. And shops produce products. That means the industrials need to start manufacturing them. And then ultimately, these people and industrial, they need legals and architects and all the professional businesses, financial services. And so then the office market starts to go. So it always trends, tracks a little bit behind one another. And we've certainly seen that office market coming back. And it's a situation where there was just such an oversupply in Johannesburg. A lot of people left, moved to the coastal regions, and they're not staying in Johannesburg. Even some people moving back to Johannesburg because they don't want to, you know, live with their parents in Cape Town or something. It's so expensive that they're moving back to Johannesburg. And, you know, I love the analogy of that sort of Mr. Market. You know, Mr. Market always trying to achieve equilibrium. And so we've seen Cape Town market pulling away from equilibrium. It's just so much growth. And the Johannesburg market, on the other hand, diving. And so these two are pulling so far apart that you can buy houses here for 10, in a nice area, you're going to pay 10,000 rand a square meter. In Cape Town, you're talking 35,000 rand a square meter for a good deal. And it's 45,000 rand a square meter as a typical trading price. So as you see this starting to pull apart, you know one of two things are going to happen. Either Cape Town's going to reverse and come back to Joburg, or Joburg's going to pull back to Cape Town. This is talking residential, right? And if you think about it, you don't see Cape Town really stopping. It's just pushing and pushing and pushing. So that means Joburg has to go up. And that's why on the residential side, certainly, we see that happening. So we're seeing more and more onto our auction platform from a residential perspective and people bidding there because they're seeing this happen. And then secondly, retail. A lot of investment going into retail. So pretty much every investor saying, find me retail, find me retail, find me retail. And so that's a market that you'll watch move just purely because of the demand. But retail is a specialized one because you're not going to go into property 24 and find a shopping center for sale. I can tell you that much. They're off-market transactions and they happen in very, very small segments. So there you've got a great example of limited supply and increasing demand. Yeah.
So it's Galetti Corporate Estate. How is the office market doing? You talked resi quite a bit, but how is the office market doing? We talked about this last week, but are you seeing increasing inquiries?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our leasing teams, the office leasing team has outdone the industrial leasing team, but that has a bias to it. There's very little industrial vacancy, which means it's harder to play that Tetris game because you need to move someone out of a property to move another person in. So that leasing is all about knowing your stock, having the stock, and then you see the transactional activity in the market. The office market, on the other hand, is a lot of supply. So you can go and show any tenant a number of different options. But there have been transactions, and I think that's the important thing because where you see people relocating as opposed to staying and renewing where they are, they're making a capital decision. When you move, you're obviously going to pay the movers. You're going to have to fit out your new office. You're going to buy new furniture. It's a big capital expense. Sometimes up to 18 months worth of rent is what you spend on just upfront. These are capital decisions. And those decisions are taken when you have business confidence and you have some cash in the bank, those two things. You can be very confident and no cash in the bank, or you can have lots of cash in the bank and not be confident. And those two things are not the same as having both. When you have both, you can actually take the decision to move, and you're taking the decision to move because your business is growing and you're happy to spend the money and you're happy to situate yourself. And so we're seeing that happen in the office market. And like I said, our leasing team is outdone our industrial team. And it's because of the volume of transactions in that market, yeah. And the buying activity, a lot of buying. Massive buying.
Okay. And where are these interested clients moving to? Are they moving up into better quality offices, more sustainable offices from a green perspective? You know, which are the locations that are in demand or are the hotspots? You know, we talked about Cape Town, maybe a little bit more about Johannesburg because it is the economic hub and, you know, the likes of Sandton still has the most head offices in South Africa.
Yeah. There's a bit of activity in Sandton, a lot of activity in Rosebank, but there's limited supply. So all of the new devs, if you see any new devs, Interprop's kind of leading the charge on their parks development, office parks development. In Illovo, you've got sort of with Radisson Red, and so they've grown and grown and grown. And then the whole of the Anglo, all the business units, there's Gold, there's Platts, there's shared services, there's group services, there's executive, there's, and they really situated themselves out of Joburg CBD into Rosebank, and they've taken up a number of properties here. And I think given it a positive driver over the last number of years, probably going on, it was 2020, so it'd be about 6 years ago, they'd be about 6 years into some of their original leases. And that gave Joburg a massive drive, that gave Rosebank a massive drive. In that same driver, you've got take up of the office space, and you have people following there, and you get more foot traffic, and that drives the retail again. And so Rosebank's a great node. Bryanston's a great node. Sandton's still behind a little bit, but is improving.
And the likes of Waterfall and, you know, other regions in Gauteng, even in Pretoria.
Menlyn's popular in Pretoria, a lot of activity there. The guys from Attack have done brilliantly. I mean, you go to Hazeldean, like great, or Hazelwood at least, great area. They've really, really done well there. So those are popular areas. In Johannesburg, of course, I mentioned Rosebank, but other areas like the Midrand. Midrand is very much for the international corporate. The reason being is it's safe. So you've got a big precinct there with lots of security. They're typically brand new buildings. They have all the best building design and quality standards. So you have your green ratings. So you're going to find the big international corporates locate themselves there. You go there, the international accounting firms there. You know, that's where you find that kind of clientele, definitely.
I thought of it after you mentioned Anglo's move, and that was a bit of a stealth move because they managed the communication out, moving out of Johannesburg CBD very strategically there. But a lot has changed in Anglo. Anglo Platinum's changed its name. And you mentioned Oxford Parks, but I see there's a big branding on Oxford Road at the moment saying Volterra Platinum, and they moving further down the road, a former Anglo unit. So there is quite of interest, but you also mentioned that there's not a lot of supply. And I know Redefine has a big property that's vacant there that's prime for development. Do you foresee any other developments coming up besides Oxford Parks? What's the potential for development activity, particularly in Rosebank?
Yeah, there is big development potential. What you're talking about is the Galleria site, otherwise the hole in the ground in Rosebank. It's really it's really a problematic site in that it's so big. It has so much bulk. And in order to unlock it, you almost need to build it all at once because you can't build half a basement. You must build all of the basement. And those numbers are astronomical to go and build the basement. And then in so doing, you need to then get going with the rest of the development, be it hotels, mixed use. They actually now have plans and I think are going ahead with a development there. One of the phases. So they're actually going to phase it. They're going to build the parking and they're going to phase the development as it goes. And so as far as I know, that is going ahead. And so you should see that activity in the next 12 months, which is great because you've got a lot of the sort of taxis parking around there, which cause congestion in Rosebank. You've got a lot of loitering there, which brings a crime element to Rosebank. It's not, there's litter. It's not great. That really detracts from the entire Rosebank node. And there's nothing they can do about it because of the cost of the build out. So for them to get going will be a huge improvement overall in Rosebank. You start talking about Volterra going further down the road. Yes. Oxford Parks actually stretches all the way from Rosebank to Illovo. So it's that entire node will ultimately be developed by Interprop. And they need to just keep rolling and, you know, and it's a big, big, big development. And then at the moment, there's a lot of activity and focus on a site, which is right next door to, if you're looking at the original Anglo building, the black one, which is the HQ, to the left of it is a site. And that is like under big sort of demand at the moment. There's different parties competing for it. And we'll see what ultimately gets developed there. Will it be Growth Point to own the building next door to it, or will it be someone else to go and develop something that I'm sure Growthpoint are going to have a problem with? So there's also that happening. So yes, there is demand in Rosebank. There will be more development in Rosebank, certainly in the next 12 months. And I think it's welcome because Rosebank doesn't have any vacancy.
Well, valuable insights there. I thought it's very interesting you talk about that that Growthpoint building, because right next door is the Gautrain Rosebank station. I don't know if there's development rights and it's a controversial, like the Santon Gautrain station, which was linked to some Gupta linked company, and it's still on pause because there's been another number of auctions there. But there's also a city lodge, so I would think that that could be redeveloped in the future. John, just to move to KZN now, Galletti has done some work recently in KZN, and you've made some interesting comments in that latest release. I'm not going to quote you on it. How's the market in KZN at the moment, and what are you delving into there?
Yeah. So we've opened up a business there focusing on auction and sales. And we're seeing a lot of activity in that market because some people were exiting KZN. They didn't like the riots and that kind of thing. So they wanted to diversify their portfolio. They've invested in Johannesburg. They've invested in other coastal cities. And so you saw a bit of an exodus out of KZN. And now you're seeing a focus in certainly that northern moving project. So Umhlanga going to Salt Rock. And then, of course, you start seeing the Club Med, which is even north of Salt Rock. So there's big investment there in that. Club Med will spark development in the node around that. Even though there's a bit of contention and legality surrounding that land just around Club Med, I think it sits with one of the big banks and there was a default and long story. But Durban's sort of seeing a lot of refocus of investment activity in that drive north. People are moving themselves out of the central town and so they're trying to work out sort of where that lands. But we definitely see more development in KZN, and there's buying activity in KZN. A lot of occupiers taking up their space.
I found it very interesting. Now, I teased my previous guest about this because he was on holiday on the South Coast, but you said there's a lot of upward potential on the South Coast. I forget the exact comment you had, but my next question more broadly, not just about KZN, what are the outliers? What do you see potential in? They're not in the spotlight as much as Cape Town and maybe the North Coast or Sandton or Rosebank, but there is a lot of potential within the context of maybe a lot of land available or other reasons.
Yeah. So again, that South Coast, you got to look at Mr. Market again. You know, you've had such depression in pricing and you've had such growth outside of the South Coast. So you're seeing communities starting to take back these municipalities and that kind of thing and just fix it themselves. And now you start looking around the country, say, you know, South Coast has predominantly been a holiday destination. People are saying, but hang on, I can go and pick up a beautiful home here for like next to nothing, a couple of million rand. And I've got a holiday home on the South Coast. And so there's a movement there where people are saying, hang on, something's happening. And so the market starts framing a story. One person speaks to the next person and you see development. As soon as you see the development and investment in that as a region, and this is a beautiful area to be on holiday, that kind of thing, you'll start to see retail development. And when you see retail development, it needs of services. And so people say, hang on, there's more demand in this area. How are we going to work with logistics? And so you see that growth. People might even say, I'm going to live down here. It's so cheap. And so, again, it's that equilibrium moving back to one another. It takes a while. Property is not like the stock market, you know. The stock market, you can see the REITs traded. They're up significantly this year. But the actual fundamental underlying asset doesn't reprice itself that quickly. It's just the sentiment around the asset that moves. But in order to lock in a price or a sale, you actually need to sell your property. And you don't have to. You can re-tenant it, you can play, you know. So it's a very, very illiquid asset. And so that pricing takes a long time to correct. And that's why the equilibrium you can see taking place over a five-year period. And so that's what we're starting to see there.
Well, airport is integral to the unlocking the South Coast, especially with the move of the Kinshasa or the Durban airport to Kinshasa 10, 16 years ago now. So there is a lot of things happening. Dubai Tradeport owns land to the south of Durban as well and is in talks with Toyota and other players to unlock that for Auto Supplier Park. But considering what's happening in the auto industry, let's see what happens. They might need to probably change tact a little bit there in who they target. John, you've answered my question about what's driving the market. You mentioned a little bit about interest rates, and we've covered that before, so I'm not going to delve too much into that. But what are the sluggish parts of the market? Is it pretty much residential because it's a little bit more flat than the jump in the JSE listed stocks? As you mentioned, we had a story after the SA REIT conference that discounts to NAV, a lot of stocks are trading at premiums now. But we discussed JSE listed counters quite a bit on the podcast. I'm thinking, like, from a residential side, where is the sluggishness in the broader property market?
Sure. So I think, you know, there is sluggishness in Gauteng overall. You know, I just foresee it starting to move, you know, and in the parks here just next to Rosebank, you already see a lot of demand, you already see the pricing moving. So the easy deals have been taken up, and then you'll see that sort of spreading out from, you know, Johannesburg is effectively a dartboard. You know, you start in Sandt and then you move out from there. And the areas that are suffering, you know, you go and take this water supply crisis happening around the sort of south of Joburg here, around Parktown, etc. That will be a sluggish market because people do not invest their money where there are no services, where there's no infrastructure, where there's infrastructure failure. And Johannesburg will continue to be a sluggish market until you see someone who can actually properly lead the municipality. And at the moment, of course, we just have one failure after the next from a municipality leadership perspective. Of course, there are some good ones, but they're certainly not COJ. And COJ really needs some proper leadership. And of course, we had a long chat with Helen the other day. And for her to come and say, I'm going to be the mayor of Johannesburg, that's interesting because people know that she can get things done. She is a very dogmatic and attitude towards, I'm getting this done. The first thing she needs, you know, and her comments, her words, the first thing she needs is a dashboard, fix the billing systems. That's the first thing. There's almost a drive to not fix the billing system. She wants to fix the billing system. After that, it's mow the grass. Just let people know that you're here. Because often with a lot of these things, even in the leadership of this country, is you've got to let people know that you're doing something. They've got to feel positive. Once they feel positive, a confidence up, things start to happen. People invest. People take long-term decisions. And interestingly, just again, anecdotally, we were chatting to someone who's business was to export South Africans all over the world. They do the moving, they set them up, they do the passports, everything. They're shutting their business down. Okay. People are not moving out of South Africa. That's the idea. People are staying in South Africa. People are moving back to South Africa. It's hugely positive for this country. Also, we've had a great tailwind with the commodities prices, gold's run. It's brilliant for us, bringing more tax revenue. If we can keep the base down, the overall expenditure down, really attack the getting clean audits in the municipalities, fix and invest in infrastructure, I see you're going to see a run in the Joburg market. I don't know if you'll see it close to the Cape Town market, but you'll see significant growth. Significant. I mean, if you think about this, it would need to grow by 100% to be half of Cape Town's value. 100% to be half of the average value. And in a good area, like comparing, like, let's say a Rosebank to a Claremont, 100% growth.
There's always opportunity for growth. Like, people were very critical about SA REITs after COVID, saying, I'm not going to invest. It took a long time. But it's all about when you play the market. So if you invested then, you look at the growth. Last 2 years, 60% growth. So if you weren't as conservative and you did invest, looking at the signs of reform in the early days, you could be, you know, in the with the money bags, as it were. John, thank you so much.
Luckily, I listened to your show, so I caught some of that.
Thank you for that insight. You know, quite a holistic insight there. Just turning back to your company now, as CEO of Galletti Corporate Real Estate, what are some of the big projects you're involved with at the moment? I mentioned growing into KZN after, you know, having quite a big presence in Johannesburg and Cape Town. But you tell me that you've expanded internationally as well now.
We have. So we've opened an office in Dubai. It's purely a sales and auction business. And it's quite an interesting market in that they have auction, but it's online bid auction, and it's controlled largely as a bank disposal mechanism. We're focusing on prime assets over there because what we see is this just unlimited demand there. The number of transactions a year is staggering for an area the size of Pretoria to Vereeniging. You know, that's pretty much what you're dealing with. You're seeing, we do about 200,000 transactions a year here. They're dealing closer to 300,000 transactions a year in an area which is many times smaller than South Africa. So the density and concentration of activities there is significant. And what we find is that you want to create a mechanism, auction, where you deadline the bidders to the same timeline. So there's no transfer, oh, I can get better, no, hang on, my buyer will pay you more. You deadline them and you completely just allow for a price discovery model where people, instead of saying, I'm going to sell it for 10 and someone comes and makes you an offer for 10 and you sell it, who says you couldn't have got 11, 12? So It's unlimiting the pricing in an area where there's significant demand and limited supply of prime stock. So that's what we're looking for from a property perspective. So we've got a first auction set for the 22nd of April. So it's something that we're really excited about. And hopefully we take to the market the right stock, get the right buyers in the room and change the market in Dubai. So that's what we're busy with at the moment. Big project of ours. Then another big project of ours is just our technology. We've invested heavily in technology over the last 10 years. And so we've built up systems that, you know, profile our buyers to understand what they own, buyers and sellers, as it were. So we understand what they own. We build them into portfolios. We have huge insight from the leasing information that we overlay. And so we're able to start predict where people are going to transact. And now recently building in some automation into the system allows us to start to talk to the system and get more visualization of our data, which is obviously the big trend globally within any business. You know, people are starting to build these automations in, and that's what we're focusing on. So two big projects for us this year. It was a great year for us. Last year, I think we transacted on just over 3.5 billion rands worth of real estate. So a significant year for us, and I think this next year is going to be even better. Business confidence in the market, interest rates still coming down, predicted 1.7% economic growth, and so I think it'd be a really, really good year. That's where we are.
Thanks for that wrap, John. Before you go, it's interesting you talked about the Dubai expansion because there's quite a lot of businesses with Trump and the craziness in the world at the moment. It's not just China investing in Africa. It's increasingly companies from the Middle East. You have a Saudi company that took over Barlow World or a large chunk of it. On the North Coast, you have the Zimbali Resort being largely developed by a Middle Eastern developer out of Kuwait. Just an interesting thing. There's a lot of positive between the two countries. Your company is expanding there. Any insights on that big controversial? It's linked to the Durban Hilton, but a company based out of that country is not doing the best work with their hotels in South Africa. You know, the Rosebank Hotel that used to be a Hyatt, but they have 4 or 5 properties in South Africa, including in Sea Point and down on Catherine Street, which I passed by the other day and I took a picture. So hopefully doing an update on our Hilton closure story.
Well, we've reopened, if you're talking about the Hyatt up here in Rosebank, those guys have reopened. So you see the pool's been cleaned and the doors are open again, so which is great news. I think it's just a situation, you're dealing with significant wealth and sprawling portfolios. Not that that should be a reason to just mothball something for 5 years. It's not okay. But that was literally the case. It kind of fell to the bottom of the ladder and they closed. And it's not that there was no money there. It's not that they just took a decision, hang on, we're mothballing this and we're moving on. It's not an area that we want to invest in. But it's positive that they've come back and opened again. And the reason being is that South Africa's caught some positive tailwind. And we just have, like the mining guys have been doing extremely well this year. We've been a beneficiary of a nice forex trade where the rand has strengthened quite significantly. So it is good news for South Africans. And we're sitting in a reasonably good spot at the moment. And I think that just provides a little bit of confidence. So if we can just maintain that, we can just capitalize that. And if the government and municipalities can invest in the infrastructure, sort out crime, and then longer term projects like education, which we're as a business are hugely passionate about, it's just get people educated. We can do so much in this country, and it's really exciting. You look at, you know, we interviewed the guys from We Think Code the other day, and what they do is they take in students and they teach them code, and then these guys go and work for the big corporates that sponsored the program in the first place, and it's fascinating what they're able to do and generate really, really smart students with terrible backgrounds, you know, not a lot of money, not a lot of resources. They get sponsored to go through this program, and they come out on the other side, and they're like AWS engineers. I mean, brilliant.
Well, South Africa is resilient, but we can't be only resilient. There's a lot of positives happening. As you said, tailwinds, and it's a word that I've heard quite a bit over the last few months, if not weeks, particularly after the SARIT conference. But John, I'm sure you have a lot more insight on the market. We'll have to have you or someone else from your company on the pod in the future. That was John Jack, CEO of Galetti Corporate Real Estate, that was on the latest episode of our Property Pod on MoneyWeb.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.